So I had someone ask me, what are the first 6 months of dental practice ownership like? So here's a video where I go through the first 6 months of practice ownership. On the day that you sign the documents and take over the practice, hopefully you left yourself a little bit of time before you have to start seeing patients, because there are a few things you are going to want to do before you actually start working. You're probably gonna wanna start out by going through and throwing out a bunch of stuff. You're gonna wanna go to your office, open up the drawers, throw out all the trash that's in there, just clean stuff up so that you have a place that you can actually start looking at and actually making decisions. You're then gonna need to go and check the supplies, make sure you have everything you need to start seeing patients, and you're gonna wanna go through and look at the equipment and make sure that everything is in order and operational and ready to actually start working when your patients arrive on day one. You're also going to need to make sure that you can log into all the computers, including the server, if there is a server. You might need to ask the previous dentist what the passwords are to things, or potentially the office manager or one of the assistants at the office. Make sure that you're able to log into all the computers. If necessary, potentially change passwords, etc. Set up the computers the way you want them to be set up. If you're buying a practice where the dentist already has everything digital, they already have digital radiographs, they already have practice management software set up with scheduling and billing, then you're good to go. Probably just stick with what they already have. But if you're coming into an office where they were previously doing paper charts or potentially doing non-digital x-rays, that's something you're gonna wanna set up from the very beginning, because you don't wanna have a system where half of your old patient records are in paper charts and half are digital. That's going to be a nightmare. When I took over my first office, the previous dentist had been, for some reason, keeping records both digitally and in paper, I guess as a backup system. I didn't even want to mess with those paper records, so I disposed of them right away. Technically, you're not supposed to throw away patient records. You're either supposed to shred them, or what I did is I just took them to my backyard and made a big fire and burnt them. However, there were so many records that there was no way I was going to fit them in my car. I had to go and rent a U-Haul just in order to get the records back to my backyard in order to burn them. There are companies that will actually come and pick up the documents and shred them for you. I had so many records at this office that it was gonna cost like $2,000 or something for them to come shred all these papers. That's why I ended up doing a U-Haul and burning them. You just wanna make sure that you have your system set up, your computers and everything is ready to go for that first day when you see patients. Make sure that you have someone that you can reach out to that has been through this before that you can ask questions to. I did not have someone initially when I took over the practice that I could ask questions to. And the first day after taking over the practice, I realized, oh my goodness, there are so many things I don't know and I did not know who to reach out to. I actually ended up reaching out to the practice broker that had sold me the practice. While he's a super nice guy, great guy, he was doing his job of selling the practice to me. He was not helpful after the sale. Once the sale was over, he was out, because that was all he was there for, was to sell the practice. I did eventually end up hiring someone to help me get some things sorted out, which I think was a very good investment. There are just so many things that you are not going to know about. You're not even going to know exist. And you cannot necessarily just find answers on YouTube, Reddit, Google, because it's just such niche specific things to your practice that you're not going to know what to do. For me, one of the big initial challenges that I faced at my practice was the practice that I had a lot of HMO patients. And the first day that I started working, there were so many patients that I was seeing for incredibly low reimbursement rates. I think I did 7 crowns the first day that I took over the practice. But when I actually, at the end of the day, went and looked at how much money I actually produced, I was producing like $250 per crown. That makes absolutely no sense, because by the time you factor in the lab fee and all the other expenses, basically I was doing those crowns for free. And so I was just like super confused. I didn't know if I should drop the HMO plans. I didn't know how I should go about that process. I didn't have anyone who I could ask for advice on that. When you initially take over the practice, there are going to be things that come up that you are not prepared for. So have someone that you can ask these questions to. The next thing I would make sure that you do, because this is gonna be absolutely crucial, is make sure you have a system to stay organized. I personally like having some sort of task management system where I can write down things as they come to mind when I don't have time to do them right then. Because you are going to be seeing patients while you're also setting up and running this business, and there's going to be things that pop up and you are not going to have time to do them right then, but you're going to want to have some way of reminding yourself. And if you're just writing down pieces of paper and having all these notes everywhere, it's going to get confusing. You're going to get lost. You're going to forget things. Have some sort of system to organize. Some apps that I have used include Todoist or TickTick, OmniFocus, Things. You can use the Apple Reminders app on your phone. You could have a Notion document that you set up. There's so many different organizational systems you could use. Just make sure you pick one and you stick with it, because you need a system where you can write down things as they come up that you can then return to later. Likely during the first week of ownership, you are going to be writing down 6 months worth of tasks, because you are going to see things that you say, oh my goodness, I need to work on this. I need to work on this. You're going to find all sorts of things that you need to work on eventually, but you're not going to have time right away. So you need to make sure that you're remembering to do those things later. So you're going to do everything you can to prepare, but eventually you're going to have patients show up at your practice. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be crazy. It's going to probably be one of the most stressful days of your life. I already told you about how I did like 6 or 7 crowns that first day, but I also did a lot of other stuff. We implemented a new radiograph system. I told you the previous dentist had been partially doing paper and partially doing computerized notes, and I switched everything over to computerized. We switched over to Open Dental, which I do recommend if you are switching. Open Dental is probably the best practice management system for a lot of reasons, and it's quite a bit less expensive than some of the alternatives. But I switched to Open Dental day one, which I don't recommend. But I did it, and it was extremely chaotic because the front desk didn't know what they were doing. For some reason, we couldn't get the radiograph software working. I had patients in the waiting room, patients that I'd never met before that I had to introduce myself, which is already kind of stressful. But I was also on the phone with the radiograph software. We were trying to figure out why that wasn't working. I was trying to help the front desk learn how to use a new practice management system. I was meeting new staff that I'd never met before. I was dealing with an enormous number of patients because the practice had been closed for 2 weeks before I started. And so there were a lot of patients with crowns that had come off and all sorts of dental issues that have piled up over the last 2 weeks. It was the most stressful day of my life. For the first week of practice ownership, once you start seeing patients, you are not going to have time to do anything at all. Do not expect to get anything done. That is why I was telling you to make sure you have some sort of system to keep down tasks and write things down, because you're going to be writing a huge number of things down and you're not going to have any time to do anything. That first week, I was at the practice from like 6 a.m. to like midnight, almost every day. The only thing that you absolutely have to make sure happens during this first week is that you need to get all of your staff's information and have them sign their W-2 forms or whatever your accountant recommends that you do to make sure that you're able to do payroll. If you miss a payment on a loan or a payment to a supply company or a payment to a software service like Open Dental, etc., it's fine. They're just going to bill you the next week. It's going to be fine. But if you forget to pay your staff, that is absolutely not fine. You have to make sure that the first payroll goes without any problems and that your new staff knows that you have the money and that you're going to pay them. So you need to make sure, no matter what happens, that you pay your staff properly that first week or first pay period. If you've never done payroll before, especially if you have a big team, I recommend using your accountant or someone to do the payroll for you. Just keep things as simple as possible, because you are going to have so many things to do. You want to limit the number of responsibilities that you have. You want to outsource as many things as possible. Worst case scenario, if you don't have payroll figured out in time to pay your staff, just take out your checkbook or go get cash. Whatever you have to do, pay them and then figure out the taxes later, because you absolutely have to pay your staff. Finally, if you get time, I know you're going to be extremely busy with other things, but at some point you want to send out some sort of communication, whether it be a letter, an email, or a text, or a combination of the above methods, to let the patients know that you're taking over the office, that you're the new dentist. Ideally, you have like a picture with you and the seller, you know, holding, shaking hands, arms around each other, whatever, saying, hey, this is the new doctor. He is amazing. He is great. He's taking over this office. You want it in the seller's words. Maybe they sign the letter and you send that out to all the patients so that they expect when they show up, you're going to be there. Finally, you're going to have made it through your first week. You've seen 3 or 4 days worth of patients, however long your working day is. And now you are ready to actually step back and look at what happened and start to evaluate. First thing I would look at is how many patients did you see? Did you see the number of patients that you expected that you would see? At this point in time, it's going to be very difficult to do any type of financial projections because with the way that insurance works, you're not gonna receive insurance checks maybe for a few weeks after you perform a procedure. So you're not gonna know how profitable you were exactly. You can get the estimates from your practice management system. The best thing though is just how many patients did you see? Was it in line with what you expected? Having worked at the office for a few days, you're now gonna have an idea, is the team size that you have the correct size for the number of patients at this practice? You might not exactly know the answer to this just yet, but at least start to think, are you gonna need to hire a new front desk person? Are you going to need to hire a new assistant? While I don't recommend laying people off, you might have to. If your team size is way too big for the amount of patients that you're seeing, you might, for your own survival, have to lay people off. Finally, you wanna at least start to get an idea, is everything being taken care of for the insurance at the practice? Hopefully, when you took over the practice, the office manager is staying through the transition, or the insurance coordinator, or someone who understands how to properly bill insurance, and someone is taking care of that for you. However, if you do not have someone in place to take care of those things, there is almost no way on earth that you're gonna be able to do that yourself starting out. If you don't have someone in place who thoroughly understands how to bill and collect from insurance, I recommend that you outsource your insurance collections. There are companies that you can hire that will do the billing and collections from insurance on your behalf for a fee. They're gonna keep a percentage of that. Does it make sense long-term to pay someone to do your insurance collections? Probably not. It's probably going to be cheaper to hire someone in-house. But when you're first starting out, if you don't have someone in place, you have to get someone in place right away. There's a huge possibility that you are not doing things correctly if you don't know what you're doing, and you need someone in there who knows what they're doing. So if you have someone who is an experienced office manager, great. If you don't, you're obviously you need to start looking to hire that person, but that might take weeks, if not a month or more. So outsource your insurance in the meantime until you have someone in place who you feel very confident is able to handle this. So you've now seen 1 week's worth of patients. This is when you need to make sure that you are doing everything you can to retain those patients. Focus on patient retention. No patient should ever leave your office without being rescheduled, ever for any reason. You're going to have patients that say, well, I don't yet know my schedule 6 months out. Can I call back and reschedule then? To which you or your scheduler or your hygienist or your assistant, whoever, is gonna say, no, we need to schedule you. What we'll do is we will call to confirm with you, and if at the time you need to change your appointment time, you can. You are going to have a system in place to call and confirm patients before they come in. You do not want to count on a patient to have to remember to reschedule, because chances are they are not going to remember and you are going to remember, so you just need to make sure they are on the schedule no matter what. You just paid a lot of money to buy this existing business from someone else. And if you don't retain those patients through this transition, then what did you pay for? You paid for some old equipment? Why? Why would you buy old equipment when you could go to the dental supply company and for less money buy brand new equipment? You paid for patients. The key here, especially during these first 6 months, is to do everything you can to retain those patients at this practice. And that means making sure that they are scheduled to come back. If you treatment plan something, make sure that they are scheduled to come back to have that work done. If you didn't treatment plan anything, make sure they're scheduled to come back for their hygiene recall appointments. You're also going to have some patients that were scheduled to come in that no-show, that don't show up for the appointments. Don't just forget about those patients. You need to make sure your front is calling and checking on those patients, saying, hey, we saw you missed your appointment. When would you like to be rescheduled for? Do not expect the patient to just call you if they miss their appointment. It is your responsibility to call the patient to make sure that they know that they feel welcome to come back to this practice. You want to be the one reaching out. You want to be the one making the calls. Not you personally, but your front desk is going to be doing this. The two most important things during this initial period is, number one, making sure your staff are being paid, and number two, making sure your patients are staying at the practice. Everything else can wait. You want to try to do more if you can, but if you only have time to do two things, you want to make sure that your staff are being paid and that your patients are staying at the practice. All right, so you make it through the first week, the second week, the third week. Let's talk about what happens at the end of the first month when you start to go into the second month. At this point, you should be starting to receive some checks in the mail or direct deposits or however you have your insurance reimbursement set up. You are not going to be caught up on accounts receivable right away, but you should make sure that from the very beginning, you are staying on top of your accounts receivable. This means both with patients and with insurance companies. From the very beginning, you want to make sure that you are staying on top of this. And if you are unable to stay on top of this, don't forget, you can outsource this to a company if you have to at the beginning. Just make sure you are staying on top of your accounts receivable. Finally, around month two, this is when I would start to go through and look at your inventory and your supplies. Start to see what have you been using, what haven't you been using. Start to go through and say, are there any things here that I am overpaying for? Maybe you're using the same company that the seller used in order to buy your supplies, which for the first month, that is completely fine. You are going to be overwhelmed. You are going to be stressed out. Just keep things going the way the seller had them. But once you get a month or two in, I would start to go in and look at, maybe the seller was using a company that's charging a lot more for gauze and a lot more for composite than you could be spending if you use another company. At some point within the first few months, you just want to go through and make sure that you're not dramatically overpaying for anything. This is also going to include the lab fees that you're paying. You're probably going to start out using whatever lab the seller was using. That's fine. But at some point, you want to actually start shopping around and make sure that you're getting a good rate for the lab that you're using. Maybe not just yet, because it's 1 month in, you're probably going to start to be receiving some of the lab work back from the initial crowns that you have done and the initial dentures, etc. Maybe you want to evaluate the quality of some of that work that you're receiving back. But I would, if you get time, start to shop around and just get an idea. Am I paying a fair price, or should I consider using another company? Especially for the posterior crowns, you can do zirconia. You can have that done by an offshore lab. You don't have to have a high-end aesthetic local laboratory doing your posterior zirconia crowns. Now, if you're doing a lot of anterior aesthetic work, you might want to have a lab guy that is local in town so that he can come by and actually look at the patients and actually help you with the staining and glazing or whatever needs to be done. If the shades need to be adjusted, that type of thing, you're paying for that service. But if you're doing a posterior zirconia crown on number two, you could use a $40 lab that shipped from Mexico. It's going to be just fine. Another thing that I would probably start to look at doing in month two, the sooner you can start this, the better, is you want a system in place to remind patients to leave you a review on Google Maps. At least at the time of making this video, this is definitely likely going to be changing in the future. But as of right now, the most important review that you can have online for a local dental practice is going to be your Google Maps reviews. If possible, Apple Maps is also good to have. It used to be that they were connected with Bing. I'm not sure if they still are. You might want to look into that. But the main thing is you just want to start getting reviews. There are pieces of software that will send a text message to the patients after an appointment, reminding them, hey, can you leave us a review on Google? And it gives them the link. Using something like that is probably worth the money and probably worth the effort, because having more reviews is going to have you rank higher in search results when people search for a dentist on Google Maps. All right, so let's talk about month three. Now, month three, this is where you should start to become profitable. The first 2 months, you're just trying not to drown. You are just trying to get things figured out, get things set up. It's going to be incredibly stressful. You're just trying to survive those first 2 months. But by month three, you need to start thinking, hey, this is actually a business. I need to actually start making money now. This is really where you need to be looking at your accounts receivable and making sure that you are getting paid for for the work that you are doing. This is also a point where you might want to start looking at adding additional procedures. Have you been doing implants? Have you been doing clear aligners? This is where you want to start to try to add those value add procedures. You want to make sure that every patient is leaving who had a cleaning done is leaving with fluoride. You want to make sure that you're comprehensively treatment planning and that you have systems in place to follow up with patients to make sure that they're following through with their treatment, that your case acceptance rates are as high as possible. Then finally, let's talk about months 4 through 6. You're starting to get used to things. Hopefully you're turning a profit. If you are now profitable, which you should be, now is the time to just sit back and let things run for a few months. There's going to be a few changes you have to make initially. That's just part of it. But eventually you want to get into a groove where you're not having to change or do too many things. Hopefully through this period from 4 to 6 months, you can start to lay back a little bit and just kind of let the practice run. During the initial 6 to 8 months, you are probably going to have plenty of work to do, assuming you bought the right practice, because your best patients, the patients that are coming back 2 times a year, every 6 months, you are going to be seeing during those first 6 months. And so during those first 6 months, you are going to be treatment planning a lot of things. You're going to see all sorts of patients that haven't seen a dentist who has been comprehensively treatment planning potentially for a long time. If you bought a practice from a seller who had been slowing down nearing retirement, it's likely that that seller had not been comprehensively treatment planning on these patients. So when you come in, you are going to find a lot of work to do. Do not be hesitant about being comprehensive in your treatment plans. That is why you are there. That is why the patients are paying for you to be there, to look at their teeth and to see what issues there are and to tell them about every single thing that you're able to do to help improve their oral health. So this period from 4 to 6, 7, 8 months in, this is going to be your most profitable time, at least early on in this practice, because all of the patients that you initially saw that you had comprehensively been treatment planning on are now coming in for their treatment. Hopefully this is the time that you're going to start to get really busy with work to do. So while the first 2 to 3 months are going to be largely about setting up the business, months 4 through 6 are going to be about producing, and producing as much dentistry as you can, because this is where you're going to actually start making a lot of money. Now, with that being said, I would make sure to schedule at least one vacation somewhere in this first 6 months. Don't think that you have to work all of the time. Yes, this first year of owning a practice is going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of stress, but you want to make sure that you're taking some breaks and that you're pacing yourself. Just be prepared. It's going to be extremely stressful, but it's also going to be really exciting. From a physiological point of view, stress and excitement are actually basically the same thing. You're going to be doing all sorts of new things, having new experiences. It's going to be very exciting. You're going to be busy. You're going to be exhausted, but you are now building a life in which you have so much more control over your time and so much more control over your schedule. Once you get things going, you're going to be making substantially more than you were making as an associate, assuming you bought the right practice. It's going to eventually get easier. By year 2 or 3, you're probably going to get to the point where you're actually getting bored, because at the initial part, you're going to be super busy with all these new things, but eventually this is just going to become a job. It's just going to become a business. You're going to outsource a lot of the difficult tasks. You're going to outsource the things you don't like doing to an office manager, to another company, to your accountant, to your lawyer, whatever. And you're going to be there. You're going to be doing the dentistry. You're going to be making the money. And you're probably eventually going to have to start finding some other things to do with your time, hobbies, going on trips, etc., things to keep you excited, things to do, because the business is going to get pretty routine after a little while, which is a good thing for making money. So just remember, during this first 6 months, yeah, it's going to be stressful, but it's also a really exciting time. Just enjoy the time for what it is. So remember, make sure you have a system to keep organized, to write down things, to remember things. You're going to have plenty of time to work at this office in order to implement changes. You don't have to implement all of the changes right away. If you get an idea, write it down in your system, come back to it a few months later. If you still think it's a good idea, then that's when you should implement that change. Give yourself a little bit of time between when you have the idea to when you start implementing these ideas. That's why having an organizational system is absolutely necessary and completely worth it. Make sure you have someone on your side that you can call and ask questions. The first 6 months is going to be super stressful. It's going to be very confusing. You're going to have all sorts of questions. Make sure you come in prepared with someone that you can ask these questions to. And overall, enjoy this time for what it is. Stressful, but exciting. All right, so good luck.